Warning. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent.
Good morning. Welcome to Becoming a Dad Podcast. Good morning. Welcome to episode 6. Today we are going to be talking about discipline. Different types there are, and then my view on discipline itself, the types of discipline, what's needed. So first we are going to get into the question of the week. What is your favorite childhood memory? Couple answers. Didn't go into a lot of detail, just I have so many, too many to choose from. I love them all. So I'm going to go with some of my own. Some of my favorites were family vacations. Growing up, family of 6 total. Flying was not really an option. It's just there was too much planning to do. Still have to rent a car when we get there. Too much luggage. So we drove everywhere. Any vacation we went on as a kid, I remember we drove it all the time. We did road trips from state of Florida, where we lived, to Maine. We've road tripped to Tennessee, New Hampshire. We've been to Arkansas, North Carolina. I've been up and down most of the eastern side of the United States. Whether we actually stopped there or it was just a state we had to drive through. But I've been in most states on the eastern side. Now, growing up, of course, during the actual road trip, it was always not enough space. We filled out the entire minivan we had. No matter which van we had, there was always enough of us to fill it out. So you can never like lay out unless your row mate, the person sitting in the row next to you, allowed you to either spread your legs out into their zone or allowed you to put them up on the seat and you could kind of like lay to the side. We were kids, so flexibility was a thing and being able to ball up into a small space was relatively easy. But some of those road trips are my favorite. Just spending, like, looking back at it now, spending the time with family. There was no distractions at the time. None of us had cell phones. They weren't really a big thing then. I remember my mom helping my dad with the map, had the giant atlas book. Maybe as we got older, some of my older siblings had laptops and we would watch DVDs on them in the car. We would, you know, put the movie in, rest it on between two armrests, and then we would watch a movie in the car. Some of the other ones I have would be, I've always enjoyed cooking, and I definitely got that from my mom. My mom's an amazing baker. Just tremendous. Whatever she tries, whether it's cake, pies, danishes, cheesecakes, whatever she's cooked, whatever she's made, it just amazing. Amazing. Just 10 out of 10. If you haven't had the ability to try any of her stuff or purchase any of her stuff, totally should try. It's worth it. My mom taught me a lot about what I know. The basics of cooking. She was making dinner all the time. We never really ate out a lot. No matter if we were on the go or if we were going to have a late night, my mom would always prep ahead. So she'd either have something pre-made, we would have be having leftovers, a pre-frozen casserole, so something she made and then froze. Crockpot meals. She taught me about a lot of it, and I always loved spending time in the kitchen with her. So those are some of my favorite childhood memories growing up. I'm excited. I know this is a question I'm going to ask my son and my daughter once they're a little bit older. If you had asked me like my favorite memories back when I was like 10, it'd be about times that I was playing outside or I got a new toy. But now when you ask me, it's the time I spent with family, specific things that stick with me. Times where it was either me and a parent by ourselves, and I felt like they were focused on me, or a time where the whole family was together and we were all engaged in conversation and spending time with one another, making memories. So, those are my favorites. And then we can move on, we can begin the show.
Can we start the show now?
All right, so we are talking about discipline. In research for the episode, I have found that there are five major types of discipline according to today's experts. I'm not really sure where I fall on this. I believe that there's. I don't understand how you rank the five. Like, there's not the best one or the one that's used the most. In my head, I'm thinking every single one of these is needed at different stages. So the first one was positive discipline. This focuses on praise and encouragement. So less about discipline. This one's more about rewarding good behavior, encouraging the good that you see. I don't see this as really a discipline. My definition of discipline would be a consequence for a bad decision or the wrong choice. So I don't really see how praising someone for good behavior could be considered as discipline, but I'm not the expert. The second one is gentle discipline. This focuses on preventing issues and redirecting is often used. Again, this doesn't really seem like discipline. This more seems like what you would do in the very early stages of childhood. Your child grabs something he's not supposed to. He picks something up. He plays with the books or whatever that he's not supposed to be touching. You don't discipline him per se, but at the same time, you redirect him. You give him a toy, you sit down and you start playing with him. You do something to get his attention off of the thing that he's not supposed to have. Again, it's not really like discipline in my definition of it, but it's still a way to prevent unwanted behavior. Number three, boundary-based discipline focuses on setting limits and making the rules clear and upfront. I feel like that one and then gentle discipline go hand in hand, because if you're doing redirecting, then you're starting to set the boundary. Don't touch these books. Don't touch the stove. Stay out, like, don't pull on the charging cord. Stay out of mom's room. Those are all, you know, boundaries. And then the redirecting to get them to move on past those boundaries. Fourth one is behavioral modification. Focuses on positive and negative consequences. Good behavior is reinforced with praise. Bad behavior is ignored or given negative consequences. Again, I feel like this goes right hand in hand with the redirection, the gentle discipline, positive discipline. It's like a mixture of both. This one I can see more as discipline, because if you give someone negative consequences, you know, you touch the thing you're not supposed to, you pull on the cord when you're not supposed to, you can get your hand flicked, you can get your hand swatted. Natural consequences would be like, don't touch the stove, don't touch the stove. You touch the stove, stove's hot, you burn yourself. It's a natural consequence. Hot stove, burn yourself. But it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, you, at this point, they're actually getting consequences. I see that as discipline, whether it's natural or it's given out by the parent, but at least there's consequences to the actions. And then the fifth one they have listed was emotional coaching, focuses on identifying the child's emotions. This one I think is important purely because you want the kid to be able to identify how they feel. But I don't see it as discipline. I'm not really sure how, like, if he's touching something he's not supposed to, and then I tell him no, and then I sit him down and I try to talk to him about his emotions, what part of that is giving consequences or showing discipline for doing something he's not supposed to? Now, I understand that at each stage in a child's life, there are different types, or there's different discipline that needs to happen. I'm not going to go to my 4-month old and swat her hand when she grabs something she's not supposed to. She barely has motor function. She probably didn't mean to grab it to begin with. If she is laying on me and she moves and she scratches me with her nails or hits my face, I'm not going to swat her hand. I'm not going to swat her butt. I'm not going to tell her no. I'm not going to put her down and do a redirection. She's 4 months old. She barely has function of her arms. She doesn't know what she's doing. She didn't mean to do it. There's no malicious intent. So there's not really any discipline to give out then. Now, my son, who's 15 months, he walks up and scratches my face. It's a little bit easier to tell. It's like, okay, were you doing this with malicious intent? Like, did you walk up and do this and then just stare at me to see what I would do? Okay, so you're being inquisitive. Maybe you'll be a scientist one day and you'll question the natural order of things. But if you... it's still too early for me. I don't think that I should be doing discipline like swatting his hand away, no. Swatting his butt, no. I mean, I'd tell him no. I'd hold his hand. Say, no, we don't do that. We don't hit. Redirect him, try to play with some toys. If he's 7 and he walks up and he scratches my face or punches me in the face, definitely going to get a hand swatted. Definitely going to have a discussion. You should be old enough to know that we don't do that. You shouldn't be doing that. So there's different stages depending on where the kid is developmentally. But I think each and every one of these is necessary. I just don't see them all as discipline. But I also don't, like, I'm not going to discipline my 4-month-old. There's nothing that she could do that deserves discipline. Growing up, I can remember a time where my parents used each and every one of these. I also remember growing up that there was different levels of corporal punishment for us, depending on what we did. One thing that my dad did and that stuck with me as I am now married and have kids, and I want to follow in his example, would be you need to have the utmost respect for your mother. My dad did not let us disrespect my mom at all. I mean, I remember there was one time where we were having a family dinner. I believe it was a Sunday. We're all around the table. And we were never allowed to cuss at home anyway. But I remember I was talking specifically to my mother. And it wasn't your normal cuss words that you would think of like today for an adult. But I said something we were told definitely we're not allowed to say. And I said it directed at my mom. And I remember my dad had, it was like this total peace and calm. But he very stoically just, he stood up, called my name. And when I looked at him, he said, "Get up. We're going to my room." So we went into his room. I was given punishment for what had happened. And then returned to the table to apologize. But like it happened. It was dealt with immediately and swiftly. But it was the calm he had. He wasn't angry when he did this. He wasn't doing anything out of anger. I don't remember him ever really giving punishment when angry. But this punishment, it came quickly. And he made sure that I knew what I had done wrong. And he made sure that it would not happen again. But that was like the number one thing for us. Was respect your mom. We could not disrespect my mom at all. My dad wouldn't stand for it. No matter what we were doing, where we were, you had to have respect for your mother. She carried us for 9 months. She took care of us at home. She kept us alive. She quite literally did everything for us until we were able to do it ourselves and they taught us independence. But quite literally, my mom took care of us completely and entirely. And my dad's thing was, she did this with no expectation for you to repay her or for you to give back. You at least have to have respect. She did not demand it, but my dad did. My dad demanded that we respect my mom. So that's something that I would definitely follow his steps in. Treating others with kindness, that's just a basic principle. You should do that if you're a good human being. That was taught at home. That was practiced at home. There were other times where we would get a set of rules to go into a grocery store. Don't touch anything without asking. Don't put stuff in the cart without asking. So when we would go in the store and then we would do those things, my mom wouldn't correct us in the store. That's not true. She'd correct us in the store. She'd say, "Don't touch that. Put that back. We're not buying that." It's when we would get home, and after all the groceries were put away, my mom would then look at us and be like, "Okay, hey, you remember when you touched this or you did this in the store? Well, I told you not to do that. Okay, let's go to my bedroom. You're going to get disciplined." So we'd go to the room and we'd get disciplined. At that young age, I forgot that I even did any of that stuff in the store. But she waited. She didn't dole out any punishment in the store. It was the gentle discipline, the redirecting that she would do. And then she would discipline us, administer corporal punishment once we got home. there was definitely times where whatever we did was so egregious that my mom would call my dad. This is before cell phones. So she'd call my dad out of his work phone, his desk phone, tell him about what we did. We would go all day. We'd continue playing. My mom would act like nothing was wrong. My dad would get home. He would go to his room. He'd get changed. And then he would call us into his room. And then he would talk to us. He'd remind us, do you remember when you did this? Oh, yeah, I do. Okay. All right. Well, your mom called me, so I know about this. I'm going to discipline you now. Because of your behavior, you are going to get disciplined. My parents weren't one for grounding. They weren't one for sending us to our room for an hour or whatever. Most of our punishment was corporal punishment, and it fit into the way they were raising us. And I think I am better because of it. The experts are going to say it causes trauma in kids. It causes issues. And that might be so for others. But for me, the way they raised me, the way they shaped me, the way they disciplined me, turned me into who I am today. And I would not want to change any of that, because I have been told that I am a respectable, that I respect others, that I'm hardworking. My parents have gotten praise about me and my other siblings, about our work ethic, how polite we are, how respectful we are. So at least in my family, something was done correctly to raise four kids. As a stay-at-home mom, my mom raised the four of us, and we turned out the way we did. There had to have been something that went right. So that's just my take on punishment, discipline.
Parents on the internet.
For today's parents of the internet, or potty, as we will be referring to it, we are going to Utah. I don't know if any of you have seen this recently. It's about Ruby Frank or Franck, the YouTuber from Utah, arrested on abuse charges after a malnourished child with duct tape on them was found. So, story goes that Ruby Franck, we'll just call it Franck, Utah mom behind the now defunct family YouTube channel called Eight Passengers, was arrested in August on child abuse charges after authorities found a malnourished minor with open wounds and duct tape on their extremities. The Santa Clara Ivins Public Safety Department said in a press release Thursday that it received a report about a juvenile in need of help at 10:50 a.m. Wednesday morning. The juvenile was described as emaciated and malnourished with open wounds and duct tape on the extremities. The condition of the juvenile was so severe that they were seen by Santa Clara Ivins EMS and then transported to the local area hospital. Evidence led officers to a nearby home where another juvenile was found in similar conditions, taken to a hospital for treatment. Four minors were taken into the care of the Department of Child and Family Services following a search of the home where the emaciated juveniles were found. Franck and Hildebrandt, who were partners, were then arrested in connection with the incident. The two are still in custody at the time that this was written on August 31st. Representative for the two families did not immediately respond to the NBC News request or for comment. Franck rose to prominence in 2015 through the Eight Passengers YouTube channel, which featured her husband, Kevin, and six children. The channel had a following of nearly 2.3 million subscribers before it was taken down earlier this year. Unclear why the channel was removed from YouTube. The Frank's strict parenting style had led some viewers to report them to authorities, and in June of 2020, some viewers called the local Child Protective Services on the parents after their then 15-year-old son, Chad, said in a video that he had slept on a beanbag for 7 months. Ruby told the outlet at the time that he was sleeping, that the sleeping arrangement was Chad's choice after being removed from his shared room with his younger brother for behavioral issues. Ruby has also faced backlash for videos in which she refused to bring her then 6-year-old lunch after the child forgot to pack food and threatened to throw away her children's prized possessions. The eldest daughter, Sherry Franck, 20, posted about her mother's arrest to her Instagram story on Wednesday night. Who previously posted that she was not in contact with her immediate family, shared an image of police officers with the caption, "Finally." In another Instagram story post, Sherry wrote, "Hi all, today has been a big day. Me and my family are so glad justice is being served. We've been trying to tell the police and CPS for years about this, and so glad they finally decided to step up." This is a very interesting hot topic, or it was a hot topic a couple of months ago. I had heard about this and seen about this before. I get that not everyone's going to have the same parenting styles, and I get that discipline is obviously a hot topic. It's what's considered child abuse, what's considered traumatic, what does a parent have rights to do as far as discipline. At no point ever should a child be malnourished or emaciated because of a parent's choice. Your child, I don't ever believe your child should have duct tape on their body. Unless it's, like, if the child is putting duct tape on themselves because it's funny to stick it to themselves, that's one thing, they're playing. If they put duct tape on their shoes, if they make a duct tape wallet and they stick it to themselves, like the pieces, so they can use them, that's one thing. I'm not talking about the creative side to it. But if you're putting duct tape on your child to cover open sores or close gashes, use it as a suture for wounds, that's abuse. Being malnourished, if you have a YouTube channel that has over 1 million followers, you're definitely getting some type of monetary value back from your videos. There's enough viewers there. They said it had 2.3 million viewers before it was taken down. There's definitely income there. I don't know how much. I don't have a YouTube channel. I don't have that many followers, so I couldn't tell you. But if you have that many YouTube followers, you're definitely getting some type of monetary financial value back from that. It should be enough for you to afford basic necessities like food, even if it's bread, peanut butter, eggs, whatever. There should be enough there with 2.3 million followers that even if you're splitting it with another family, there's enough to make your kids not malnourished. We also have assistance programs in the United States that can assist with families. If you don't have enough income, they can supplement your needs. They can provide food, shelter, clothing. You have to go and apply for them. It takes a while, I understand, but there are other ways to get assistance. There is ways to help. You're not stuck where you're at by yourself. I don't understand how, as a parent, you can look at your child, someone you love unconditionally, and do anything to hurt them. I'm not sure how you, as a parent, could, like, I could never look at my kids and decide to pick something I want over their needs. Even something as simple as, like, what to eat. Like, my son loves a good old-fashioned PB&J. loves it. I'm not the biggest fan of peanut butter and jelly, but if it comes down to, hey, at the store, we have enough money to buy stuff to make him peanut butter and jelly that'll last him a week worth of lunches, or we can get deli meat in sandwiches. Okay, well, my son's not old enough. We don't eat deli meat sandwiches, or he doesn't eat deli meat sandwiches. So, no, we're not going to do deli meat. We're going to do peanut butter and jelly. We're getting a tub of peanut butter. We're getting a tub of jelly that he likes. And we're going to get cheap bread. And now I know that obviously, like, this isn't the healthiest thing, and I'm not worried about his health as much right now as if it comes down to whether he's eating or not. If you have to make the decision, do you eat or do you not eat? You shouldn't be counting calories or watching macros for the food that your child intakes, unless it's going to kill him. Don't feed your child something that will kill them if they have peanut allergy or if they're allergic to gluten. Don't want you to harm your kid, but if you, my son, in this case, my son doesn't have any of those allergies and it's not dangerous for him, I'm not going to go make sure that I have the nice, fanciest bread that has some nutritional value for him. If it comes down between eating and not eating, I'm going to make sure he can eat. Because first and foremost, I have to make sure that my child is fed and nourished to where he can survive. I can go a day or two skipping lunch. That's fine with me. I will survive. But my son needs to eat. I don't understand basic things. Food, water, place to sleep. I don't understand how a parent could refuse to give that to a child. Even if the child is has the utmost disrespect and is trashing things that you have provided, you don't have to make it a 5-star hotel for him. But you do have to provide the basic necessities for quality of life. Shelter, food, water. I don't get how you could refuse something like that. So, that's it for potty this week. It's nice to see. We don't have everything all together, guys. But at least we're not this parent.
Can we finish this? I'm bored.
All right, that is episode 6 in the books. That is done. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. Rate me wherever you are listening. Connect with me. My email is in the episode description along with all of the socials. Come connect, hang out, share some of your parenting tips, send me a funny story, send me some dad jokes. You want to be a part of the show, you want to have a question answered. All inquiries, questions, stories, funnies, everything goes to becomingadadpodcast@gmail.com. Today we are finishing with a anti-joke / dad joke. What is red and bad for your teeth? A brick. All right, that is it. I am out of here. That is episode 6. Okay.